KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly cloudy sky, 68 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy to cloudy today. A slight chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 78. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Our top story this hour, rescue crews from Cumberland and Lewis, as well as medevac ambulance, were called to the scene of a two-vehicle crash this morning about 5 miles east of Lewis at the intersection of Highway 71 and Oxford Road, or Cass County Road, G43. Five people were said to be injured, with at least three requiring transport to the hospital. One person, a female, suffered a head injury and possible broken leg. Two were determined to be in critical condition, while two others had minor injuries. All were conscious and breathing when authorities arrived on the scene. LifeNet helicopter was being directed to the Cass County Hospital to transport the most seriously injured to another hospital. The road was reported to have been completely blocked following that accident, which occurred around 7:30 a.m. No other details are currently available. A southwestern Iowa landfill has stopped accepting dead birds and related waste from the recent bird flu outbreak. Mills County spokeswoman Sherry Bowen told the Council of State and Nonpareil that the Lus Hills landfill stopped taking in more birds after Wednesday's shipments. Officials say the landfill might consider taking in more birds if another outbreak of avian flu were to occur, but at this point, Bowen says, we're unsure if we'll take on more. As of Tuesday, trucks had hauled in 426 containers to the landfill, with each carrying 7 to 8 tons of dead birds, cleanup and protective equipment, and other products used for during disposal. Millions of turkeys and chickens have died or have been euthanized to prevent the further spread of the avian flu. Well, the Iowa West Foundation Board of Directors reports they've awarded nearly $8 million in grants and initiatives for the first cycle of 2015. Grants will assist 24 nonprofit organizations and governmental entities with funding for projects and programs that directly impact southwest Iowa and eastern Nebraska. This is the first grants and initiatives funding announcement of the year after the foundation restructured its grant cycles in late 2014 to be 3 times per year rather than 4. The letter of inquiry period for the third cycle is open October 1st. An interested organization should visit the foundation's website to learn more about the application process. Funding for the foundation's grants comes from the investment earnings in Iowa West Racing Association, which receives license fees from casino operators Ameristar and Harrah's. The IWRA distributes funds to the Iowa West Foundation, which then makes grants throughout southwest Iowa and eastern Nebraska. Among the local entities receiving Cycle 1 grants is the Audubon County Early Childhood Organization, which received $40,000 for programmatic support for the Children's Nest Daycare Center. The City of Griswold received $10,000 for improvements to the Griswold Community Building. Eccles Memorial Library in Oakland received $2,000 for the 2015 collection development of the library. The Friends of Downtown Harlan received $7,500 from the Iowa West Foundation for LED lighting and an updated sound system in historic downtown Harlan. Also, the Riverside Community School District received more than $76,340 in support of Potawatomi Promise program delivery. The Stanton Historical Society received $5,000 for the repair and repainting of the Swedish Coffee Pot Water Tower. And West Potawatomi County Agricultural Extension District received $57,700 in support of the West Pot County 4-H Youth Programming Administration. Brett Earlmeyer, chair of the Audubon County Community Foundation, a countywide community foundation, reminds Audubon County nonprofit organizations that the fall grant program is now beginning. The deadline to apply for funds through the grant application process is September the 1st. Earlmeyer says they have $41,170 altogether allocated for the fall grant cycle. The Audubon County Community Foundation grant dollars are awarded for a single year. Their grants and program mission is to participate in funding community betterment projects and nonprofit organizations that have similar objectives. And only those organizations providing services in Audubon County are eligible and must be able to demonstrate broad community or county support and supply a copy of their 501c3 IRS determination letter. Application procedures, grant guidelines, and further information can be obtained online at www.iowacommunityfoundations.org/Audubon CEF. The Shelby County Emergency Management Agency Thursday afternoon issued a statement in response to questions the public may have had with regard to Wednesday night's storms. Operations Officer Jason Wickheiser said the staff were monitoring weather prior to a tornado watch being issued. As soon as the watch was issued at 6:20 p.m. Wednesday, the Emergency Management Coordinator and Operations Officer were out meeting the storm as it rapidly built just northwest of Harlan. Wickheiser went on to say that area fire departments were advised by pager of the tornado watch and sheriff's deputies were assisting with monitoring the storm cell. And due to the rapid growth, Harlan Police Department assisted local residents by opening shelters and monitoring the weather. Just before 6:30, a severe thunderstorm warning was received on Wednesday. Wickheiser said also that spotters from all the area fire departments were placed in the field at predetermined locations to observe the storm as it tracked its way through the county. Once observations of the storm cells were made, the National Weather Service personnel were in touch with Shelby County EMA and 911 dispatchers, relaying real-time radar interpretations of what they were seeing. He added also that the National Weather Service confirmed what field observers were seeing and that it was a wide area of rotation. As the storm cell continued south-southeast, it developed a prominent lowering, or what's typically called a wall cloud, that was rotating, and that was reported as well, with the EMA coordinator calling for sirens to be activated in Harlan. As the storm continued to track south-southeast, Wickheiser says a deputy reported a brief touchdown of a tornado on Red Bud Road just after 7 p.m. Wednesday. And due to the funnel development and history of the storm, the EMA coordinator had Shelby County EMA 911 dispatchers activate the sirens in Elkhorn as well. And by 7:49 p.m., the storm had exited the county and personnel returned to normal duties. Wickheiser said the storm cell in question had more than four trained public safety spotters following it across the country to keep a county that is to keep in visual contact at all times. Public safety spotters and fire departments were monitoring and relaying information through communications to keep the public warned as early as possible. But in response to some residents' questions who said they could not hear the sirens in their homes, Wickheiser said that sirens are an outdoor warning signal not designed to be heard inside your home. Inside warnings, he said, should come from the form of a NOAA weather radio, the Code Red Emergency Communications Network, which is via cell and telephone warnings, radio and television media. Another question he says people have asked is, why did the storm surprise us? It seemed to have developed so quickly. Wickheiser said the tornado watch actually means weather conditions are favorable for the rapid development of severe thunderstorms capable of producing tornadoes. A tornado watch implies that there is also a severe thunderstorm watch. And that must not be confused with a tornado warning. As he said that, as we're all aware, the weather rapidly changing once the watch developed, we encourage all citizens of Shelby County to sign up for Code Red. And remember that they'll also be switching soon from Code Red to the Alert Iowa system, which is a statewide notification system. He also mentioned how severe weather has become a large industry for spotters, chasers, tour guides, and researchers. Wickheiser said they are seeing an abundance of people on the roadways during storms that are parking in the roadway and placing weather monitoring devices in the traveled portions of the roadway, and he asks the public to be aware of that during storms. As an example, he said last Wednesday night while spotting along County Road F-58 in Shelby County, an emergency management employee had to drive around a spotter that parked his car in the middle of the road with no lights on, filming the storm cell as it crossed the road. An adjacent county manager came upon another spotter that deployed an instrument in the traveled portion of the roadway. Wickheiser said that several of these individuals will drive fast and are not watching the road, so he asks you to remain cautious if you happen to be driving during a storm. And as a final note, he said storm spotters in Shelby County are public safety officials. If you are approached by someone claiming to be a storm spotter, they should be in an official vehicle or have departmental identification. If you're approached by someone that does not meet that criteria, they are more than likely not a non-affiliated recreational spotter. Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.